and the visionary of this school and the anointing you've placed on his life, here in Ms. Thompson's life. Father, we give you honor and glory. Whatever you want to do in this Holy Spirit, in this classroom, we're open to it. Thank you for opening up your word to us ahead of time. And we give you glory and honor. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. If you turn, we continue in chapter 9. We're talking about those that will join the alliance. Or another way to put it, those that will join in covenant. We went over a few of them. I'll just go over them again to make sure we're all on the same page. There were 7 points. Number 1, they're drawn to a person. We talked about that. Number 2, they came to seek us out, meaning that you must pursue those you want to connect to. Number 3, they must verbalize their commitment and loyalty. One of the most important things in a covenant is that you have to verbalize. In today's society, our verbalization comes from we sign contracts, and so there's us talking. But in those days, they were verbalized. So you have to. What I mean by verbalize, you have to say it so that you hear it, and that everybody around you hear it. Because it does another thing. It lets you locate everybody around you. Once you say, case in point. Don't. This is not a great example, but it's a good example. As soon as you declare your political affiliation, everybody around you becomes polarized. If you just say, well, I'm independent, or I'm a Republican, or I'm a Democrat, you begin to find out those who are around you what they believe. And you see what I'm saying? So the same concept is important when you're connecting in covenant, you want to make it verbal. That's why in marriage ceremonies, there are vows that are said out loud. What's one of the things that they say? If anyone have a part of the union, let them stand now or forever hold their peace. Are you seeing this? It's because it lets you know who's around you. So I can now, when I verbalize my commitments, I now can realize who is for me and who is going to try to hold me back. Are you seeing this? All right? Tonight we'll begin with number 4, they acknowledge the grace upon our lives. Or you must acknowledge, another way to put it, you must acknowledge the grace that is upon the person's life who you're connecting to. Now, let's first of all define this word grace. There are a number of ways we define it. First of all, grace is not a concept. Grace is not a concept. It's not a teaching. Grace is a person. That person is Jesus Christ. All right? Now that we understand that, we have to understand that grace, Jesus represents God's empowerment. He's the one that was sent to the earth. Listen to the internet. He was the one sent to the earth, to put us in a position of empowerment. All right? Without Jesus Christ, nothing can be accomplished. Without him being crucified, without him being resurrected, without him being the one to present himself back to the Father on our behalf, that means we can accomplish nothing. So one of the ways we can define a grace is an empowerment from God. Another way to describe it is favor from God, special treatment from God. That is what the word grace can be defined as. So now here's one thing that we must realize, that some people have a grace on their lives, very specific grace, that others don't have, which is okay, because God did that on purpose, so that we will be forced to work together. See, we'll be put in a position that we have to work together in order to accomplish the will of God. Even Jesus himself needed the 12 disciples. Because Jesus' whole assignment was just to come here, establish the kingdom of God, and then take on our sins, take on the disease that was meant for us, take on all the judgment we were supposed to receive, take on all the punishment that we were supposed to receive, and then present himself back to the Father. And Jesus said, look, I must go. I got to go so that the Holy Spirit can come. Are you seeing this? Now, when the Holy Spirit had come, the Holy Spirit is not to not legally operate in the earth realm without the cooperation of a human being. So this is the reason why the 12 are important, because Jesus had to impart into somebody the kingdom so that they can turn around and impart it to someone else. So this is why Paul was so powerful, Peter was so powerful. This is why these gentlemen were able to impart some things into people, is because they were great, favored by God, empowered by Jesus to do so. Are you seeing this? So, obviously, you don't want to be connected with somebody that is not empowered to do something that you're not capable of doing. In other words, it don't make no sense for me to connect with somebody it doesn't make sense for me to connect to somebody who's not going to take me further than I already am. That's a better way to say it. It makes no sense for me to connect with somebody. See, most people connect because of ego. They want to be counterpart. They want to be contemporaries. They want to rub shoulders with the person. Listen to that, man, Annette. But you have to be in a position to connect with somebody that's going to take you further than where you are now. In order for that to happen, you must recognize that there's a grace on their lives that is not on yours. Paul began to tell him, he said, I want you to partake in my grace. In other words, Paul was telling him, I'm walking in a grace that you all haven't experienced yet, but you can experience if you connect properly. Are you seeing this? Go to 1 Chronicles, the 12th chapter. Listen to what Amasa said to David. Start in verse 18. Then the Spirit came upon Amasa, who was chief of the captains, and he said, watch what he said, thine are we, David, and on thy side, thou son of Jesse. Peace. Peace be unto thee, and peace be to thine helper. For thy God helpeth thee. In other words, Amasa, I was telling him, David, I recognize that the hand of the Lord is upon you. I recognize this. This is why I'm connected to you. I recognize that there's something about you that God is, something about you that God is you. Now watch this. Here's something that I want you to understand. Here's what I want you to understand. Because most times, because of ego, pride, and because we have been improperly taught, because we have experienced sometimes abuse of power, we have sometimes experienced an abuse of an anointing. We know a person is anointed, we connect to them, but they got some funky things about their character. But sometimes we overlook the funky things because we recognize that they are anointed. We have to recognize that when God graces somebody for us to be connected to, that we also have to pay attention to their character. Have to pay attention to their character. If you do not pay attention to their character, then anything they impart. See, a person, because remember, watch this, I go back to number one. Number one is we join ourselves to a person, not to an anointing. So if I join myself to a person, that means that whatever they impart to me is what I'm going to receive. Are you seeing this? The reason why God graces people in a certain way, listen to that very closely, and this is what you have to recognize. The reason why God graces people in a certain way is because of his will. is to accomplish what he wants. The only reason why God chose David is because God couldn't find nobody else at the time that would yield to him enough to accomplish what he wanted. Remember, he had chosen Saul, but Saul didn't want to yield to a Samuel. Samuel told him, you go to the city and you wait. I'm going to be there a few days after. You sit there and wait. I'm going to offer burnt offerings and we're going to find out what God wants. Saul got nervous, didn't want to wait. So he took it upon himself to burn offerings. Are you seeing this? So God realized at that moment that Saul could not be trusted. Even though Saul had been anointed. Are you seeing this? The only reason why somebody, the only reason why, in my case, the only reason why Apostle Thompson is anointed the way he's anointed is because he's totally yielded to what God wants to accomplish. No personal agenda. So now watch this. If the leader has no personal agenda, then how in the world do I think I'm going to connect with a personal agenda and get what I want? Are you seeing this? See, there has to be no, we'll get further than this, no personal agenda. It has to be all about what God wants to accomplish and how he wants to do it. Look at Genesis 21st chapter. Genesis 21. Must recognize the grace that is on their lives. One of the things that, you know, especially in the Old Testament, and we're going to see it too in the New Testament, that these guys believe when they see special things happen, they will quit their knowledge. God is working with you. Watch this. In the 21st chapter of Genesis, verse 22, and it came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the chief captains of his host, spake unto Abraham, saying, God is with thee and all that thou doest. Now therefore swear to me here by God that thou wilt not deal with talk with me, nor with my sons, nor with my sons' sons, but according to the kindness that I have done unto thee, that thou shalt do unto me, and to the land wherein thou hast sojourned. And Abraham said, I swear. So these guys recognized that God was with Abraham. Now watch this. There will be what's called Nicodemus ministers. What I mean by Nicodemus ministry, those that will come undercover trying to connect. You must be aware of these people in your lives that are trying to connect to you and are not willing to acknowledge you. Are you seeing this? See, that's why it has to be a verbal commitment. See, if you're not willing to commit verbally, that means when the heat comes, and guess what? The heat is coming. Accusations are going to come. False accusations are going to come. Attacks are going to come. They're going to come. It's just whenever they do come, you cannot be connected to people who are running hard under fire. So these Nicodemus ministers, these people that come undercover and don't really want to commit. They want what you have, but they don't want to commit. Take yourself from those people. It's all right to be cozy with them, but you know them. Are you seeing this? Nicodemus ministers are very dangerous. They're very dangerous because they only want to commit, if you like, for lack of a better way to say it, at night, when nobody's looking, when nobody can't see. You do not want to be connected. You do not want to be connected to anybody that only want to be noticed with you at night. What I mean at night, figure of speech. Only want to be noticed when there's no problems, no trouble, no accusations, any of those things. Are you seeing this? Very important. Those who join the alliance, watch this, know and acknowledge the supernatural hand of God and His grace upon the leader's life. In Nehemiah 2:18, this is Nehemiah talking, he said, told them how the hand of my God has been favorable to me. Nehemiah 2:8, and the king granted them to me because the good hand of my God was upon me. John, the 3rd chapter, 2nd verse. All these should be in your book. That's why I'm going over fast. For no one can do these signs. This is Nicodemus talking to Jesus. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with you. Go to 1 Chronicles, 11th chapter. First down to the 11th chapter, the 2nd verse. And it says, and moreover, in times past, even when Saul was king, thou was he that led us out and brought us in Israel. And the Lord thy God said unto thee, thou shalt feed my people, and thou shalt be ruler over my people Israel. Other words, when you connect to somebody, you have to acknowledge not only the grace on their life, but the accomplishment that the grace has afforded them. So watch this, that works hand in hand now, because watch this. I'm not connected to somebody who hasn't proven out the grace they say they're walking in. I'm not connected to somebody who taught grace but ain't walking it. I don't care how you, people say that's fine. And I'm anointed, I'm so anointed. Okay, you're so anointed, show me some fruit. If you don't show me no fruit, then that means you may be walking in a fake anointing. Because the anointing of the grace produced fruit. David's grace that God has thrown in his life produced fruit. It was one of the first, everybody better answer this, one of the first fruit that the grace that was on David's life produced. What was it? There it is. When he's speaking out, here is a teenage boy coming out the world with him. Nobody ever seen him before. Because he watched this. Watch this now. He said he saw the God. He was there to see it. He stand here when God wanted to see from out of the mouth of the lion. He was there to see it. But ain't no denying he killed the lion. Are you seeing that? So you have people that talk to talk, saying how great they are, but I want to see fruit. Let's be very plain. Let's be very, very, very plain about this. You have to have more accomplishments in your life than I have for me to yield myself to you. It makes sense. Because I don't need somebody, I don't need to connect to somebody to prove me that's equal with me. I'm here already. I don't want to stay on this level. I want to go to the next level. So in order for me to go to the next level, I have to connect to somebody who's past my level I'm on, and I recognize the accomplishments that they have in their life. I couldn't say it, but I also am able to see it. Are you seeing this? So therefore, they were able to endorse him to go where. Not that he needed it, but they were able to back it up, saying, hey, you go to the heathen, we're going to those that are circumcised. In other words, they were going to the Jews, Paul was going to the heathen, those who are Gentiles. And watch this now. This is, if we come across a point that will help you, listen to that, that will help you And sometimes when it looks like you've been rejected, all right? It's going to be very clear. Sometimes God shuts the eyes of those trying to connect to us so that the partnership will never be formed. How many heard what I said? Sometimes God will shut the eyes of those. I've seen it over and over in a powerful life. I've seen it over and over. Sometimes there are men, well-known men of God. They don't recognize the anointing that is on a powerful life, so therefore they can't access it. And when they can't access it, that means a partnership cannot be developed, a connection cannot be made. And sometimes those times that they were blinded was on purpose. Because they're going to try to steer it another way. So what I'm saying, don't be fretful when a person doesn't acknowledge that you have a grace on your life. Don't become fretful, because sometimes it's God blinding them to the grace that is on your life so that God can keep you on the path that He got you going on. I've seen it happen over and over. I've seen it happen in my life. I've seen it happen in the apostles' life. I've just seen it happen. But sometimes people, whatever, they just can't, they just don't see. And instead of you looking at it as a rejection, you need to look at it as a protection. All right, once again, here we go. Go back to one of the statements I made. I told you we're going to be recurring this class. This is why your sowing is important. That's why your sowing is important, so that your decisions don't be based on financial connection. It is based on what God is saying. So therefore, I'll be connecting to somebody because I might be getting preaching again. I'll be connecting to somebody because I might have an opportunity to exercise my gift. If somebody is blinded to the grace that God has given me, oh well. Are you seeing this? Sometimes God will blind people to that grace so that it cannot be taken another way. This is one of God's ways of protecting us and protecting what He has called us to do, so that we do not enter into an alliance that will be disadvantageous to us in the future. Are you seeing this? See, so don't be discouraged. I've seen apostles get blackballed by some of the biggest names in ministry. And I lied not to you. I'm so glad they blackballed. I'm so glad that they were blinded to the grace. Because then you begin to see doors open that you never knew existed. You begin to see plans that God has for your life that you never even thought could exist. Why? Because your focus was here on this connection, on this particular. If I connect this person, and when God cuts it off, now you're forced to open your horizon to what else God is saying. And when you realize that God has a whole, so much more for you than you thought you had for yourself. Does that make sense? So it's not about rejection. I look at it as God protecting me from coming to some alliances that I shouldn't be connected to. Because here's one thing. We learned from Lot. Lot didn't realize that it was the grace that was on Abram's life that was causing him to live like he was living. He did not recognize it until he separated himself from Abram and went over to Egypt. And that's when all the trouble started hitting his house. Because watch this. Once you disconnect from a grace that you know God has connected you to, Once you disconnect, deterioration begins to set in. I've seen that over and over and over again. People who God has connected to an apostle, they start, you know, thinking of themselves more higher than they ought to think. Make you know they disconnect. Then now this start to happen and that start to happen. Now watch this now. Is it because they disconnected? Is it God causing it because they disconnected? No. It ain't God causing it because they disconnected. It's them leaving themselves. See, watch this. One thing, here's what obedience does. And you'll never forget this. Here's what obedience does. I need you to shift your thoughts. And us teaching on grace, I need you to shift your thinking from you working principles. It's a side note. Stop thinking that you work in the principle of God. It's not you working the principle of God, it's you flowing with the principles of God. The Bible says in Genesis 8:22, as long as the earth remains, seed, time, and harvest is going to exist. Right? That's Genesis 8:22. So whether you sow or not, guess what? Seed, time, and harvest is moving. It's working. It's producing. But when God, in 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, the 10th verse, gives you seed, it gives you the opportunity to get in the flow. Are you seeing it? So it's not so much of us working the principle. Obedience doesn't, when we obey God, we're not working the principle. Obedience opens the door for us to get in the vehicle of what God is doing. You see it over and over in the Bible. God told Noah to build an ark. Why would he tell Noah to build an ark? Because God was going to flood the earth whether Noah built an ark or not. He was going to build whether Noah built an ark or not. But because Noah decided to obey, because Noah decided to flow with the blessings of God, he was able to save his whole house. Are you seeing the difference? So it's not so much Noah building an ark that caused salvation. It was Noah cooperating or getting involved or flowing with the principle of God that caused salvation. Are you seeing this? So when God gives us instructions, it's not us working the principles of God. It's God, those instructions or those invitations of God open the door for us to get in the vehicle of where he's going. Because if he didn't want to be there, he didn't have to tell us anything. If he didn't want to preserve Noah's house, he didn't have to tell him that because he was going to flood it anyway. You know, he didn't have to tell Abraham, no, he didn't tell Abraham, he didn't do none of that. But because he wanted Abram to be involved, or he wanted him to be in the flow, he gave him instructions on how to get in the flow. Are you seeing this? So watch this. You getting connected with somebody who has a greater grace is not you actually working on it. It's actually you getting involved with the direction of God going anyway. And this is how you ought to think. I'm honored that God chose me to be involved in what he's doing. See, David was going to be the king of Israel regardless whether any of them is joined him or not. Is it that God afforded him the opportunity to be involved, to get in the flow? Are you seeing this? Watch this. In God protecting us from people being blinded to the grace that is on our lives of being, sometimes what will happen is you'll connect to somebody, and then somebody will try, so then you got people who never paid attention to you, now trying to become friends with you. Because they want something from you. See, watch this. I've seen God do this. Sometimes God will allow them to be blessed because he knows they don't want as soon as they get what they want. He allows it to happen so they get what they want and get out their way. Watch this. Those that do not recognize the grace on their leader's life When they join the journey towards death, they often believe they can live without it. Let me say it another way. When you do not recognize the grace is on the person you connect to's life, you will eventually begin to believe that you can do this. And you'll forget divine order, you'll forget government. You'll begin, I've seen people see Dr. Thompson minister, and they say, man, I can do that. I can preach like that. And they don't recognize that there is a grace that is on his life that he recognized he couldn't do it without the grace. That's it. Here's why you have to have pure motives when you connect to somebody. Here's why. When wrong things dwell in our hearts, they send out wrong signals. It will cause the wrong people to find access to us. The wrong influence will cause us to choose wrong dwellings. If we live in wrong places, we will also have access to other wrong people. Wrong places are where wicked and unrighteous people dwell and hang out. The longer we dwell there, the longer we delay in connecting to the right people. We must shut out wrong influences from our hearts and start embracing God's plan and destiny for us. Only then will we know those whom God has set to be our partners in destiny. Are you seeing it? It has a chain reaction. It happened a lot. Lot had improper motives. He began to think that it was him causing all to happen. When it was God working through Abram with the plan God gave Abram that caused him to prosper. When he thought it was him, then he moved and moved to the wrong place. When he moved to the wrong place, he started getting the wrong influences, connected to the wrong people. Then all of a sudden, all started chaos started in the house. Do you see what happened? And see what Satan wants. Satan loves for us to get connected to somebody that will draw us away from where God. That's the first thing Satan does. Whenever you connect with somebody that's about to take you to the next level, whenever you do that, the first thing Satan does is send somebody in your life to try to destroy you. They try to discourage you. They try to tell you, you ain't got to do all that. They try to tell you that all that ain't necessary. They try to tell you anything to get you to detour from where God has connected you. Satan always does. He's the master of deception. Here's what you can trust with God, though. Listen to this. God will always give you the ability to discern your partners in destiny. He will always give you the ability to discern your partners in destiny. Nehemiah 2:20, the God of heaven will give us success. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build, but you will have no portion, right, or memorial in Jerusalem. Then Nehemiah 6:16, when all our enemies heard of it and all the nations surrounding us saw it, they lost their confidence, for they recognized that his work had been accomplished with the help of our God. God will always give you the ability to discern those who you're supposed to be in partnership with destiny and those who you are not supposed to be. So we got that one. The fourth principle is you must recognize the grace that is upon the person's life that you're connecting to. That's very important. If you do not recognize the grace, you will take it for granted. The fifth principle. For those that would join in their lives or connecting to somebody who has a leadership anointing on their lives. They join in groups, not as individuals. There were different groups of people coming today from different tribes. Other words, when there's an agenda, God-given agenda, people will begin to recognize it and will begin to assist you. Just that, watch this now. This makes sense. Because Galatians 6 and 7 says, God is not mocked, for whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So, whenever you connect properly, and you begin to assist somebody else in bed what God has called them to do, God will always prepare people to surround you to help you accomplish what God has called you to do. And when you focus on, when you begin to join that agenda, and you do it wholeheartedly, that means now God, because of what he said, is now obligated to make sure that you're surrounded with people that will help accomplish what he called you to do. See? So in other words, it's not going to be bits and pieces. It's when you commit wholeheartedly, God is going to send people wholeheartedly. It's not going to be they come in one at a time, one here, one there, or just you get this going right. When you begin to commit wholeheartedly, then God will begin to commit people around you wholeheartedly. I've seen it happen tremendous amount of times to apostles. When he committed to his spiritual father, no matter what nobody said, Brother Hale, no matter what nobody else did, I never forget one time, without going into too much detail, Brother Hale had to get somewhere, and he was having trouble getting there. Like, comes and say, hey, Brother Hagin, my plan is your plan. Look, it's because of you why God has called me to do what I'm doing, that God has opened the door for me to do what I'm doing. So, therefore, if you got to go, I catch commercial, you take my plan. So, I'm doing it. So, now, he's reaping the benefit that God has called him to do some things. He's surrounded him with men and women that feel, in the bunches, that are doing it at the same time. Committing to him, committing to help push the agenda that God has put on his life. This is very key. Don't just connect to a person just all, lack of a better word, all willy-nilly. Just don't jump and connect is the popular thing to do. You must try and test the connection. Talked about a little bit of this earlier. I want to see fruit. I want to connect with somebody that is going to take me someplace that I haven't gone myself. And it's going to have to be tried and tested. Not only when you connect with somebody, you have to try and test the connection, but you're going to be tried and tested. Sometimes you're going to be asked to do something, and you're like, man, I ain't time for all this. I ain't for all this. This ain't what I wanted. Hey, what's this? That's cool. Okay, it might not be what you want. That's okay. That's fine. You've just been located. If you don't want to do it, you just relocate. That's fine. That's great. That's dandy. No pressure. Ain't no obligation. You ain't got to do this. But know that you're being tried and tested so that when it's time to go in the heat of battle, people know who's around them. Is that making sense? See, a lot of times we think that ministry is just a bunch of people getting together casually. No. We come together, listen, we have an enemy. And this enemy is not playing. And if this enemy can take you out, he will. So it can't be none of this, you scared to go, because now we got to send you back like Gideon did. It can't be you just putting all your weapons down and just all loose and just getting the drink. No, you got to pick that water up in your hand and be looking around. Look, you're being tried and tested. You see? To see whether or not you have the fortitude to go any further in this connection. Are you seeing this? Everybody is not going to make the connections that you make. Everybody's not going to join the church that you join. Even though you would love to do it, even though you think you have the best church, well, I don't know for a fact, everybody's not going to join Water Life Christian Center. I would love for them to, that's a wonderful thing, but they're not. They're not. It's just that simple. So I shouldn't get discouraged when people don't want to connect to what I connect to. Remember, this is an individual thing. This is an individual thing. And when God has exposed me to something that I've never been exposed to before, I have to go at it with all my heart, regardless of who goes with me. Are you seeing this? Sixth principle. We have 5 more minutes. The sixth principle. For those that join in covenant. Their concern for national transformation rather than just a personal benefit. Somebody will repeat some of the things you're saying, but this is good stuff. We must be concerned about the agenda and not what the agenda can do for us. See, this is people that come to the Water Life Christian Center. This is one of my pet peeves. This thing that bothers me the most. And Lord knows I got to pray before I deal with it because it literally makes me angry. Here it is, Apostle Thompson has been laboring for 30 years to get to where he is, faithful to God and what he's doing. The people that show up here on Sunday morning and Wednesday night, you show up here because of his anointing. You came because of the call of his life. You came because of the grace that's on his life. You see that and you wanted to know what this man doing. So it is unfair to him for me to come and teach my own agenda. It's unfair to him. It's unfair to God. It's like on Sunday morning. The people gather here because of the anointing that is on his life. The people come here because of what we think. So what makes you think that people are here to patronize your business? People get literally upset because we want to promote their business in the church. But people ain't come here for that. Those people came here because they wanted to hear a word from God, not because they wanted to hear a word from your business. They came, they're not concerned about massive transformation. They're only concerned about connecting for personal benefit. Are you seeing this? You can always let, you can, it's easy for y'all to find them. You can find them in your church. They come in excited, they want to watch, and they're about to get in that. They take the big calls in because they're only trying to figure out how they can present this business opportunity. And that is not, going back, this is why sowing is important. Because when I connect to what God has called me, when I connect to who God has connected me to, it has nothing to do with finances. It has to do with me being called to help this person with the agenda that God has put on their lives. So this is why my sowing is important. Because my sowing creates my income. Not my connection to this anointing. Is that being clear? Because you'll find people that will connect only because it's advantageous to them. So they're not concerned about transforming a city, transforming a parish, transforming a county, transforming a state, transforming a nation, or transforming a world. They're only concerned about their lifespan and what they get out of you for themselves. I'm going to be here. They said, I'm going to be here 85, 90, 95 years, so these years I'm going to be focused on what I'm going to get out of everybody else for myself. And I fake it like I need to fake. I connect with what I need to connect to. When God says, if you seek me first, Matthew 6:33. seek me first in my way of doing things, like, now add all these things to you. We have to begin to live beyond selfish agenda. We have to begin to live beyond, watch this, personal concern, being distracted by personal concern. If you're distracted by personal concern, that means you're no longer in grace. You're trying to do it yourself. Because guess what? Whatever you're concerned about, if you could have changed it, you've done it already. So that thing, if me being concerned ain't going to change it, ain't no sense in me being concerned about it, I need to go find out, God, what can I do for you? Because when I find out what I got to work with God, when I understand the door that I'm supposed to walk through to get in the flow with God, once I get in a vehicle, that means every concern I have will be dealt with. Are you seeing that? And finally, because I had to finish chapter 9 tonight, the seventh principle for those who join in covenant is that they must come in the spirit of sacrifice. Covenant relationships are not established with those who fail to value the relationship and crown it with the spirit of sacrifice. The price we're willing to pay reveals the value we place upon the relationship. That's how you can always tell how valuable you are to somebody. What price they're willing to pay? What sacrifice they're willing to make? Those who choose to follow the covenant must come ready with their measure of sacrifice. The author is a very keen point the author point out. The author says when God first approached Abraham, Abraham was not ready for covenant. Matter of fact, the first covenant that God took with Abraham, I think it was the 15th chapter of Genesis, he put him to sleep. Said he'd just be a sleeping partner there. You ain't ready for this, but God said, I need to get this ball rolling so bad, I'm still going to do it, but I'm going to put you to sleep. Remember, Abraham went to sleep on the first covenant. God put him in deep sleep. But the second covenant that God did with Abraham, Abraham was now ready to be circumcised. Now, let's break down this thought process. We're going to close here. Circumcised, cutting away of the foreskin on the penis. No badness. Ain't no badness. Ain't nothing going on. No, it's just straight. You got a knife. You got skin. We got to cut this off. Not a mental fortitude that Abel had to have for that showed God that he was now ready for commitment. Even more than that, Abraham went further than that. He was willing, watch this, to sacrifice the very thing that God had promised him all those years. Can you imagine? He was asking God for a son. All these years, God finally gave it to him without fair back. And Abraham was willing. So God then understood how much Abram valued their relationship. Are you seeing this? That what Abraham did was very important because watch this. A law of reciprocity was established there. So now, because Abram was willing, Abraham at the time, his name was changed. Abraham was willing to give up his firstborn. It opened the door for God to give up his only son. Are you seeing this? The price you're willing to pay shows the value that you put on a relationship. Finally, watch this. There are many who will join us at the time of celebration and share our joy, but only those who come to sacrifice with us know the value of all that God is doing in our lives. They know their part in covenant keeping. All right? So here's in chapter 9. This is a very important chapter. We're going to get off of the chapter 10, the purpose of covenant, next week. But chapter 9 is very important. It's important that you go over these things because the level of covenant that God expects out of us is not anything that we're used to. Most ministries these days is I'm standing there long enough so I get what I need, then I'm venturing off on my own. And that's why we have all these little dead churches around here. Little churches with 10, 15 people in there. And ain't nothing happening. They gone and they land hand on everybody every week and ain't nothing changing. Because there's no agenda. It's a formality. It's a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. There's no advancement of the kingdom. And there's no advancement because there's no agenda that we can attach ourselves to. So you see why government is so important? Why God placed apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers and evangelists in the body of Christ for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. All right? I'll see you all next week.